Good afternoon and welcome to the only show you need to get you through your Wednesday, to get you through another crazy, wild, maddening day of news that we're going to figure out together live on the Jason Ranch Show on AM 770 KTTH and 94.5 FM for our friends of the Greater East Side. Got a lot to get to. We only have 2 hours left to do it. I'm going to take you through the plan to get infrastructure in place for more electric vehicles. I'll tell you why it's probably not going to work. Unfortunately, there's a move to get rid of student or school resource officers in Bothell High School. And last night, a bunch of people showed up to say, no, 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 no. We're going to play audio, great audio, from one kid who showed up. Plus, a Jason Ranch Show exclusive, the state of Oregon is quietly considering a plan that will last in perpetuity to house migrants, people who come into this country illegally. They don't want people to know about it. They definitely don't want Texas or Florida to find out. Well, they're going to find out because I got the leaked audio. We're going to tell you that exclusive later this hour. This hour, by the way, brought to you by 3010 weightlossforlife.com. Lots of news happening all around the world and right here at home. So let's find out what's trending.
What's trending in Tacoma?
This is a debate that doesn't seem to want to go away. It's a debate that, frankly, we shouldn't still be having, and yet we find ourselves in that position where activists are yet again pushing back at the Tacoma City Council and their plan to ban camping within 10 blocks of a temporary shelter, a plan that makes complete and total sense. You've got a shelter over there, dude. Just go and live there. Como says in its current form, if the legislation or the ordinance passes the way that it's written, it would affect 11 locations around the city. So a 10-block radius, you can't camp out. Now, last night, there was a meeting. Last night, Ty Moore showed up. He's with the activist organization Home in Tacoma for All. He, of course, is against this plan.
Police sweeps are not a solution to the housing crisis. So we understand there's public safety issues. We understand there's real concerns out there with the encampments. But we need real solutions, not sweeps.
Oh, okay. He doesn't have any real solutions. The only quote-unquote solutions that they have on the left in this activist class are free housing for all and more free housing for all. That's all. Unless you're giving someone a gorgeous studio apartment that's worth $2,400 on the market in downtown Tacoma within walking distance of some restaurants and retail. Unless you do that, they don't want a suite. And too often, people like that are the only ones who speak. They're the ones who show up to meetings. They're the ones who are organized. This is what they do professionally. They're professional activists. But last night, something awesome happened. People got activated in their community. You see, when you ignore all the activists and you focus on the people who live there, the people who work there, the people who are paying taxes there, the people who aren't professional activists, you get the real pulse of the city.
And we're just trying to figure out why and how people are allowed to camp on other people's property.
I'm here to tell you that I feel unsafe in my neighborhood.
She shouldn't feel unsafe in her neighborhood. No one should feel unsafe in their neighborhood. Whether it is Tacoma or Seattle, Everett or Gig Harbor, people should feel comfortable walking with their kids to a nearby park. They should feel comfortable walking to a restaurant or getting out of a movie theater late at night. They shouldn't have to feel so uncomfortable, like God knows what's going to happen to them, because they're seeing all of this homelessness just on display, mental illness, drug addiction. Sometimes both. It's not safe. And people are sick of it. They're sick and tired of it. So they showed up and they made it clear where they stood. Now, last night, no action was taken because they punted yet again. Apparently, it's going to go for a vote on October 11th. This is now on the people who got activated and the people who still need to get activated in Tacoma to step up and put the pressure on these politicians so they know if they don't make the right decision and move forward with this ban, you will remember it when they are up for re-election. You will remember it. And it's not that you'll just vote against them. It's that you'll campaign against them. You'll donate money to their opponents. You're going to go all in because at the end of the day, even the most ideologically corrupt politicians, at their core, they want to stay in power. And if something threatens their power, then they start to listen. So threaten their power. Tell them you're going to take it away. That it is a privilege to be a politician for you, to be your representative. It's a privilege. They work for you, not the other way around. So make sure, civilly, of course, but make sure they know that. Make sure they know that and you will win this. As is often the case, there are more people on our side on these issues than the other side. And as the 206 points out on our text line, speaking of the activists, they never say just how many free houses will it take. No, they don't. Because they believe that housing is a human right. That you are, based upon just your existence as a human being in this country, in this world, you are due the kind of home that you want for free, wherever it is you want it. You shouldn't have to pay nothing. That's what they believe. How do you think that's going to end? Yeah, it's not going to stop with homeless people. The IRS continues to be aggressive. They're increasing the number of officers in Washington state, so please don't try to take on the IRS yourself. Contact our local tax expert and advocate, Greg Nunn at Nunn Better Tax Resolution. Wonderful sponsor, NUNN, Nunn Better Tax Resolution. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending on the road?
There's a story in King 5 about the plan, not just in Washington state, but really it's part of a national plan to build the infrastructure necessary to accommodate more people driving electric vehicles. When we live in areas, we're one of them, where electric vehicles will be forced upon us, that you can no longer buy new gas-powered vehicles starting in 2035, you realize rather quickly that's not that far away, and we are definitely not ready. And so the federal government gave out a whole bunch of money, $5 billion, which is not actually a whole lot of money. To you and I, it is. But when you think about how expensive it is to put together these kinds of plans, this kind of major infrastructure shift, yeah, it's not a lot. Specifically, the plan is to have a fast charging station every 50 miles along our major highways. Everyone else, you're kind of out of luck. You're kind of out of luck. Sorry, rural America, you're out of luck. We're only paying attention to the major highways. Now, the plan is, at the end of the day, to service some 75,000 miles of highway. Do you think that's going to be enough? Just real quickly, before you even have to, you don't have to take a deep dive into the math. You think that's going to be enough? Each station has to accommodate at least 4 vehicles. So bare minimum is 4. You can't require a cell phone to use it, like an app to use it. You can't require any registration. It has to just be free to you. And we put, of course, free in air quotes, because you're still going to have to pay for this. This is coming from tax dollars. And on top of that, if you have the technology for the fast charging technology, if you're able to do that, you have to prioritize that. So fast charge, they actually say, can charge a vehicle in 15 minutes. Now, I don't know if that depends on the kind of vehicle that you're getting. At some point, we will have the technology that allows us to either have a battery last longer or get charged even quicker. We're not there yet, which is why when I look at a plan like this and say, oh, Washington's only getting $10.5 million in the first year, $15 million after that, that's clearly not enough, because we're not going to have the technological advances by the time 2035 rolls around.
Basically, what the federal government did in the bipartisan infrastructure law that passed earlier this year was they said, okay, we're going to spend $5 billion over the next 5 years, but every state has to come up with a plan and submit it to us for how they're going to do it.
So they submitted the plan. The total investment that Washington gets is $71 million. On top of that, state dollars will go into this to the tune of about $90 million. Now, the plan says the priority deployments, which 2 freeways do you think will be given the priority? Has to be major in Washington.
Here?
Yeah, that's what Washington is.
Sorry.
We live in Washington State,
know,
Max.
I asked the question before, I don't know, I-5 and I-90, maybe 405?
You only get 2.
I guess.
You got them. I-5 and I-90.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what
405
else?
Is not a major. Well,
when you live on the east side, it is.
Yeah, but it's not a major, major. So I-5 and I-90, that's what would get the priority. What about people who don't live near there? You know, like the whole people in parts of northeast Washington, southwest. Like, yeah, I guess you can get to I-5, but at some point, you're going to have to go out of your way to get onto I-5 or I-90 to get to your final destination, right? It doesn't quite make sense. At some point, you're going to realize, like everyone has, your spouse or your kid brought the car home, didn't gas it up. In this case, didn't plug it in. And you're out on your way. You're driving to wherever. And then you're like, oh, no, what am I supposed to do? Oh, let me do a U-ey. Let me get near the I-5. And where are they putting it exactly? On the shoulders of freeways? This whole idea that they're going to do it every certain number of miles, where do you put it?
Rest stops? I don't know.
We don't have that many rest stops. How many rest stops between here and the northern border? 2, 3? I don't know.
I don't know.
I-5? Like, there's not that many. They don't quite tell us that. Joel Cresswell is the guy you just heard. He's with the Washington Department of Ecology. He spoke to King 5 News. He says, if you think these projects are complex and costly, let me tell you something. You're 100% correct.
These are really expensive to build. So these chargers operate at 150. Some of them operate at 300 kilowatts. You can see there are big transformer boxes there on the wall. Sometimes electric utilities have to run more power lines into a building to install them.
I know.
So this is really big, expensive infrastructure, but it's critical to our electric vehicle transition. And it really pays off in the long term.
Yeah, in the really, really, really long term. The funny thing is, by the time we actually have the infrastructure set up to fully accommodate a world in which the majority of people own these cars, the technology on the cars will probably make those charging stations obsolete. That's a sad reality. And that's a whole lot of dollars that end up getting wasted. I still want to know. Let's try to get this guy on the show. Joel Cresswell. I'm so curious, where are they going to put it? Let's say you're driving up to Arlington from Seattle. Where are they putting it? You're going to have to get off the freeway, presumably, right?
Isn't it the same concept as a gas station? It's just...
Yeah, but there are gas stations there.
Well, I understand.
And those are privately owned property. So, I mean, you're going to have to do it on state-owned property, presumably, or I guess you can buy the private property. They're going to eminent domain a whole bunch of people, I bet. They're going to say, no, eminent domain, we're taking over.
That'd imminently.
Eminent domain. Say that fast. Push the button.
What's trending? The Biden administration.
Oh, no. Oh, poor Joe Biden. Poor, poor, poor Joe Biden, or the people around him. The people in the audience. Over the course of the last 24 hours, he gave two different speeches in which did not quite go the way that he had hoped. First, yesterday, he was doing some event about hunger. Good cause. Good issue. And he was wondering where Congresswoman Jackie Walorski was.
I want to thank all of you here for including bipartisan elected officials like Representative Governor, Senator Braun, Senator Booker, Representative Jackie, are you here? Where's Jackie? I didn't think she was going to be here to help make this.
Yeah. She died. She died. She died in a car accident. And that happened in the start of August, early August. That's a kind of a significant screw up, right? Number one, it shows just how empty those kinds of remarks are. We got to say thank you to all the bipartisan. You don't even know who's involved. Now, I'm assuming it's a little painful to the people who know her, who knew her, right? Just to have that happen. And apparently, Karine Jean-Pierre today said that the reason why this flub happened was she had just been top of mind for the president. Top of mind, but you didn't realize she was dead. Okay. Why don't they just say, I made a mistake? Why don't they just say, I made a mistake? Because when she said, Karine Jean-Pierre, when she said she was top of mind, Everyone in the press were like, wait, what? That doesn't make any sense. What are you talking about? She said, I don't find that confusing. I mean, I think many people can speak to. Sometimes when you have someone top of mind, they're top of mind. Exactly that. That's less sensical to me. That's more confusing now. Also, if you put it into the context, it's not like it happened without outside of context. What does that mean? That's not even, those are words. It's English language, but they're words. They're just sounds coming out of your mouth. They're just like random words. It's not like it happened without outside of context. What does that mean? She's speaking like Joe Biden.
That's almost like Kamala Harris buzzwords. Top of mind.
That's the key word today. Key phrase. Then today he had another little bit of a screw up.
You're an inspiration. So many people here are. Amy and others that look out and are simply an inspiration to people not only with disabilities, but people who don't have disabilities, find themselves feeling sorry for themselves and realize, wait a minute, wait, what am I complaining about?
Oh my God.
You know,
So you're calling the people who are disabled an inspiration because you're saying their lives suck. That's what he just said there. He's telling people who are not disabled, hey, it could be way worse. You could be like that disabled dude over there in the corner. Does he not get that? Does he not get that? And I suppose he could have, I'm assuming this is what he meant. You guys are down in the dumps. There were other people who were down in the dumps. They looked at their disability and they said, my life is over. I'm never going to be able to overcome this. But they did. Look at them as inspiration. They can overcome just as much, or you can overcome just as much as they can. I that would have been better. But that's just cringy. It's like God, it's bad.
But they were top of mind.
Oh, my God. I guess. Oh, that's bad. That one's really bad. And I imagine that if you're someone who's disabled in that crowd, you're just like, wait, what? Come again? What'd you just say? Huh? Oof. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? Foodie edition.
The hot dog combo price at Costco is apparently going to stay $1.50 forever and ever and ever. Costco's chief financial officer, Richard Galante, according to Fox Business, he had an earnings call this week, and he said that despite the record high inflation, despite the fact that we've had to increase the cost of a lot of our products in the cafeteria, we're going to keep, we think, the hot dog and soda combo at $1.50 forever. Now, they say, hey, look, we clearly got hit hard when you think about how gas and travel sector issues were hit pretty hard because of the cost. And maybe got people to not travel as much, not buy as much gas. But we were able to, because of our cafeteria, people are still coming in and they're still buying things. Well, we raised our prices somewhat, and that is helping us a little bit during these tough times. They say they were forced to raise the price of the 20-ounce sodas to from 59 cents to 69 cents. And then it's chicken bake, which I don't know. Is that just a Hot Pocket with chicken?
Yeah, it's like right? A really good Hot Pocket. Yeah.
It went from $2.99 to $3.99. Why don't anyone talk about the chicken bake? Why is everyone talking about the hot dog? Is it just because it's cheap?
Well, yeah.
Is that it? I mean, it's seriously.
What's $1.59 anymore? Gumballs, $3.
That's a jawbreaker. Gumballs are $2. Get it together.
Okay.
I don't understand people's fascination with the hot dog stories. I don't get it. I don't get why certain things become sort of like a cult favorite. It's just a hot dog. You can buy a whole bunch of hot dogs at Costco. You can probably buy 50 of them for maybe $3.50 and just cook them at home. I don't understand. And it's what drives me nuts the most, having to do with Costco, which I don't particularly like. It's
Why?
Just because it's too, I'm single. That's too much. I don't need to shop there. I every once in a while, I'll get something from there, like on Instacart or whatever. And it comes, I'm like, I'm not going to eat all of this. This is going to go bad before I'm even able to open the second box. What drives me nuts, God bless you if you're one of them listening, and I feel like some of you listening are probably this person. The one who goes to Costco just for the food. You disgust me.
I'm going to go for dinner tonight.
Well, you already sicken me, so you can't get any worse. But that just, that, I don't know why either. I don't know why it bothers me so much. I don't know why I have that kind of visceral reaction of like, oh, God, whatever. I don't know why. And it's a me problem. It's not a you problem. I'm not saying it's your problem. It's certainly my problem for judging you. But I do think you deserve to be judged.
It's good food. It's cheap food.
No, it's cheap. Lots of stuff is cheap. You can go to McDonald's, it's cheap.
I'd rather have Costco cafeteria than McDonald's.
Yeah, but the thing is, then you got to go to Costco, which is way out of the way for most people. Well, it's very much out of the way for most people.
I bet there's a Costco within 4 or 5 miles of most people.
No, 4 or 5 miles? How many Costcos do you think there are?
Several hundred.
In the country.
Oh.
I used to have to drive
an hour to go to Costco in Tulsa.
You just said, I bet you anyone who's listening is going to be one within 4 miles.
Anybody in Washington, this is where Costco started.
How many Walmarts do you have there?
A lot.
Yeah. Go to Walmart. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to join the conversation. Send me a text. 1-800-465-8770. When we come back, we're going to dive into the big local. Some students decided to get activated in their community and push back against a plan to get rid of the school resource officer. They said, no, 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 no. We're going to get into that and more when we come back. You've been listening to What's Trending, brought to you by Guardian Roofing and Gutters.
Bremerton, Bothell.
This is the Big Local on the Jason Rant Show.
Redmond, Sumner, Kent.
Stories about you, not about Seattle.
Hey, look at the time. It's 4:30 on a weekday afternoon, and that means it's time for the Big Local, brought to you by Alpine Specialty Services, online at alpineclean.com. This is the part of the show where we completely ignore stories coming out of Seattle, and instead, we focus all of our attention on the communities you live in and care about most. And we start in Bothell, where Bothell High School students and staff are pushing back at a district plan, the North Shore School District, to get rid of SROs, school resource officers. A couple weeks ago, we spoke with one of their teachers, who was helping a group of students push back. And last night at the meeting, a whole bunch of people showed up, flooded the meeting, gave personal comments during the public comment section, telling them under no ambiguous terms, no, you don't get to do this. We don't want to lose our safety. We don't want to lose this officer that we've come to know and respect and care about and trust. Now, there was one speech that was provided by a high school student. His name is Dane. He's actually also a listener of mine, or a viewer, or a reader, or all of the above. And I wanted to highlight what it is he said last night, because it's not easy for anyone to stand up in front of a school board knowing it's being recorded, knowing that it's on the record, knowing that it's public. It's not easy to do that. It's not easy for adults. It's definitely not easy for kids. But Dane decided to step up because he knew this was what was right.
The proposed removal of the SRO program at Bothell has shocked many of us. I, along with many of my classmates here, share the belief that Officer Ware is a member of Bothell, of the community at Bothell High School, and a member of the Bothell community as a whole.
By the way, I love how forceful he is. He's definitely a listener. He knows how to be a little bit aggressive. It's okay. You got it.
We live in a period of time where school shootings have become more prevalent. Many people, including myself, has had anxiety and fear of a school shooting at Bothell could be possible. Parents should not be worried about something happening to their kids each day when their kids go off to school. But Officer Ware, he's made those worries disappear for me. He is a good adult resource for students to talk to that isn't a teacher. Every day at school, I see him interacting with students and making them smile. Officer Ware has done this job very well and deserves to stay at the school. I am a supporter of law and order, so is everyone else here.
Yes.
So is everyone else here who came to support Officer Ware. A Bothell High School without Officer Ware is not a Bothell High School I want to be a part of. I ask the school board to listen to all of the students, parents, and teachers and the rest of the community that you claim to listen to. I will always support law and order, and I will always support Officer Ware. Go Cougs. God bless America.
Yeah, and he got a big applaud line after that. That was the big applaud line. Good for him. He stood up there and he did what so few people who are really passionate about these topics do. He spoke up. He was nervous. He was clearly nervous. But he fought through the nerves because he understood what's on the line. Safety. Support of law enforcement. Pushing back against this narrative that schools are unsafe because SROs are on campus. There are folks on the left who want you to think that. Unfortunately, those people are sending the message that cops are to be feared based on the color of your skin, because what we see over and over and over again on the left is this silly argument that students of color are disproportionately impacted by SROs on campus. That is not true. It is not true. The only ones who are disproportionately impacted when it comes to either an arrest or involvement of a school resource officer are kids who are either breaking laws or breaking policies to the extent that an SRO is needed. That's it. Now, if you have a problem with SROs on campus, I'm willing to bet it's based on a political ideology that just happens to be anti-cop. I'm willing to make that bet. Because what's going to end up happening here, and I hope it doesn't, but what I fear is going to end up happening here is, despite all the people who showed up yesterday, despite all the people who spoke passionately, including Dane, they're just going to be ignored by a group of ideologues on the school board who have already made up their minds. Now, hopefully I'm wrong, but I don't think I am. I pray that I'm wrong, but I don't think I will be. Because I've seen these kinds of stories over and over and over again. It happens all the time. And the question then becomes, how will you, how will Dane, how will the teacher we had on, James, how will all these kids, how will they react if they lose this, if the school board votes to get rid of the school resource officer? That's the important part. Because there are a lot of people who, after a loss, they kind of give up. They feel deflected. I get it, by the way. They just like, it's not worth it anymore. We fought so hard, we were so passionate, and we lost. You lost not through any fault of your own, but through the stubbornness of ideologues. How you react is what's important, because afterwards, you should get even more passionate. Because you know that they're not listening to you. They know that they're ignoring you, and they should know that you know. So make sure they know. You've got parents who are voting age. Some of the students there are of voting age, or will be, in November. How will you respond as someone who is a member of the community being ignored? You can sulk, you can cry, you can complain. And there's some room for that. But you also could step up and make it so that you now feel more energized, more activated to get involved in the community, get out and vote, vote for their opponents, campaign for their opponents. There's a lot that you can do. Now, am I counting the roosters before they hatch, or the chickens before they hatch, or the birds before they fly, whatever that term is? Maybe. We'll see what they end up doing. But I am so proud of Dane. I'm proud of all the students who showed up, and the staff and the parents, who probably felt like they might be bullied for standing in favor of police in 2022. Unfortunately, lots of people think that. But kudos to the kids, the staff, the parents over at Bothell High School for stepping up and saying something. Meanwhile, out in Grays Harbor County, $90,000 in firefighting gear, life-saving equipment was stolen from the fire station there. This according to the Grays Harbor Fire District Number 1. They say when they got into the building around 6 a.m. just yesterday, they realized that they had been burglarized. Now, this is a station that has three what they call apparatuses. They have a water tender, a fire engine, and an ambulance. And unfortunately, according to Fox 13 News, they say all three were picked clean. They stole, whoever was in there, stole defibrillators, chainsaws, radios, jaws of life. What in God's name are you going to do with the jaws of life? They took rescue tools and other life-saving gear. And all in, it's about $90,000. And on top of that, they're going to have to be out of service until all those items can be found or they can be replaced. And the truth of the matter is, we're talking about Grays Harbor County. This is not a very wealthy county. They don't just have $90,000 sitting around that they can lean into from the budget perspective and just spend it to replace these stolen items. They don't have any leads, as far as I can tell, or at least they haven't publicized any particular leads. But this only happens when you think you can get away with it. And it takes a special kind of degenerate, a special kind of just deviant person to steal from a firehouse, from a fire, from firefighters, from an ambulance. It takes a special kind of scumbag to do that. But they feel empowered. They feel empowered. They feel empowered because they know that right now in Washington State, they can get away with things like this. And so again, how will you be activated in Grays Harbor County? How you get activated to say, we do not put up with this. This isn't Seattle. This isn't King County. We don't put up with this stuff here. What are you going to do to step up and say, enough is enough? The only way we're going to be able to fix a lot of these problems, not in its entirety, there's always going to be crime, but you can fix a major reason the crime surge is occurring politically. That's the only way you're going to be able to change a lot of this, most of it, politically. Laws allowed this to go on and continue to allow it to go on. Politicians allow this to go on. We've got an election coming up in under 6 weeks. What are you doing to get more involved? Momentum is swinging on our side again, not just nationally, but for the first time, it feels like in a long time, locally. There's a reason why folks are going after Tiffany Smiley so hard in the media on the left is because they are looking at the polls. There is a reason why all of a sudden you're seeing a ton of Patty Murray's ads, TV ads, on stations you haven't seen them on before. They're scared because we have momentum on our side because people have decided to get activated. But if we're actually going to win this, you need to get more activated. I hope you'll hang out with us in Renton at the Carco Theater on October 12th. We've got the Freedom Series. We have under 100 tickets left. That's it. We have under 100 tickets left, and they will sell out. So please purchase your tickets. They're only $12. Come hang out with me, Brian Suits, and some very special guests in the world of politics that I think you're going to be excited to hear from and meet. So head on over to ktth.com or text the keyword freedom to 1-800-465-8770. Buy your tickets today. It's the Jason Rand Show. Welcome back to the Jason Rand Show. I teased this yesterday. I decided to jump more into stories coming out of Oregon as well. I'm not just going to stick in Washington. I'm going to expand to the whole Pacific Northwest. And I start my reporting with an exclusive story you're only going to find here, where the Oregon Department of Human Services is quietly considering a program that would house and care for illegal immigrants, migrants who are streaming across the border. In fact, one of the leaders of this program, or one of the people who's trying to get this program going, wants them to be regarded as quote-unquote welcome guests. Now, the person we're talking about has been identified by a source of mine as Jeff Gilbert. He's the regional emergency coordinator for the Office of Resiliency Emergency Management. Okay, very, very, very wordy title and office. But he's someone who is telling people what's going to happen soon. And this is the first time in a long time, thanks to leaked audio, that we can get a better sense of the rationale that goes into bringing migrants into a state. We've been hearing all of the controversy around busing people from Texas or Florida into Chicago, Martha's Vineyard, D.C., New York. But you have right here in the Pacific Northwest in Oregon looking at a program that would, in perpetuity, bring folks into their state to live. Except they don't want this to get out. As you're about to hear in video, or excuse me, audio, Jeff Gilbert doesn't want this to get out, because he fears that those very same governors will end up shipping too many migrants to the state of Oregon. And so this meeting was held on September 23rd, so last Friday, and it was with other staff members within the department. And this is how the conversation started. This is how it was set up.
So if you're a border state, if you're California, Arizona, New Mexico, Texas, Florida, there's a large number of immigrants that come through your doors. Unfortunately, the federal government has not established a process and a funding mechanism to aid those border states. And so...
And by the way, that is fair. That is a fair criticism.
I wish that we would always treat these folks coming into the country as guests. and has welcomed guests. But some of the governors of border states have taken it into their discretion to physically moving people via bus and or most recently by plane to other states. And that's being viewed in a very, like, political reprisal type of way, right? And you've seen maybe some of the banter nationally regarding our gates between governor to governor, governor to mayors. And unfortunately, it treats these folks that are coming in as if they were a pawn, right? As if they were not human to be treated, right? They're just being moved as if they were an object. That's created a lot of national conversation.
Yeah, you bet. I guess that's different from the secret overnight flights that the Biden administration was involved in, sending folks to places like Tennessee. But that wasn't inhumane at all, and it shouldn't have caused any national conversation. So they're proposing a program that will, in their view, cost a whole lot of money, request a whole lot of staff, and last potentially forever in taking folks who are coming across the border. And this guy in the audio, he and I'll give him credit for acknowledging this, I guess. When Title 42 went away, we saw an influx of folks crossing the border. Now, Title 42 was in a Trump-implemented policy that basically allowed the country to reject people coming into this country because they came from one that had an active outbreak of, in this case, it was COVID. It has to do with communicable disease, Title 42. But you were able to use COVID as the excuse to keep people out of the country. Now, of course, it was bogus in the sense of they clearly weren't using it because they were concerned about COVID. They were using it because it was an easy way to keep people out of this country. And I'm glad that the Trump administration did it. That's why and that's how he was able to keep the migrants flowing into this country at such a low level. They still were coming over, but at a much lower level. Under Biden, he got rid of this, and it took a while for them to actually fully get rid of it, but that was always the intent. And as a result, a whole bunch of more people were coming in, and we did not boot them. So we've got people who are flooding across the border. They have to go somewhere as they're waiting for their asylum hearings. And so the state of Oregon is now considering this plan that basically would allow them to house, and we don't know how much or where they would be housed. They would give them wraparound services, presumably, if they need them. And basically, they would be creating this money pit for people to constantly come into their state. They are incentivizing it.
How long is this mission going to last? This mission would have a non-defined end. In other words, there is no date whereby this would end. This could exist in perpetuity. It would require, based on the fact that we know already, there are at least 250 families that we're aware of in the last 2 weeks that have come here, and innumerable families from Ukraine that are already here in Oregon. And so there's a possibility that this list could be very large, and that would result in funding to make this program occur and a great deal of staffing, because our team does not have the capacity to staff this.
Now, they don't want you knowing about it. In fact, it's not only that they don't want you knowing about it, they don't want Oregonians knowing about it, they don't want Texas Governor Greg Abbott knowing about it. And while he's talking about border states, and Florida's not a border state, it's being treated as such because so many folks at the border end up going into Florida to connect with family. But he doesn't want this information to get out there that the governor is looking into this program.
We're also very not shouting from the rooftops, so to speak, until all of this is properly vetted, because the last thing that we would like to do is to attract a great deal of attention on a possible mission, and then have that be picked up by news media, as you can imagine, promulgated, and then draw the attention of maybe some governors of border states that say, hey, Oregon wants a bunch of folks, let's bust them.
Why wouldn't you want them to bus them to you? This whole, we might be overwhelmed. Okay, well, you know what? You've got a lot of border states that don't want illegal immigrants. You do. You're a sanctuary city or a sanctuary state. Portland's a sanctuary city. Why wouldn't you want more folks? Wouldn't you jump for joy at the idea of saving all of these migrants from border cities that don't want them and border states that don't want them because they can't handle them? It's so odd you would want to keep this quiet. Well, it's no longer quiet. It shouldn't be quiet. This is a kind of program that should be discussed and debated in the open. And in fairness to maybe the perspective of this guy and the state, the citizens of Oregon probably would jump for joy at this. They probably love this idea because just like in Washington State, you have a whole bunch of folks who are overwhelmingly, aggressively left-wing who view this as an opportunity to play hero. Okay, well, play hero then. I am allowing you to play hero by publicizing this, despite the fact that you didn't want it out there. But we're going to post it out there, and it's online right now at ktth.com. I hope you'll check it out or text the keyword RANTS, R-A-N-T-Z, to 1-800-465-8770. The reason why I especially want it out there is, hey, good news. Good news, Greg Abbott. Good news, Ron DeSantis. You now have another state that is willing to take more folks. You don't have to bus everyone into Chicago, New York, Martha's Vineyard, or D.C. Everyone's been kind of trying to figure out where the next bus or flight is going to come from. Hurricane Ian has obviously gotten in the way of what they're doing in Florida. But that's not stopping what they're doing in Texas. You want to know where to send them? Send them into Oregon. Because it's funny, there was an interview on CNN, I think it was yesterday afternoon, maybe early evening, where Keisha Lance Bottoms, a former mayor but now a Biden advisor, came out and said this in criticism of the busing of migrants.
Well, the president wants to be very thoughtful about how we do it. And so you can't just bus migrants into cities and they are not prepared to receive them.
Now, that's, of course, what they were doing beforehand. But cool. Oregon seems like they're getting ready to receive them. So if you want to shine a spotlight on this story, text the keyword RANTS, R-A-N-T-Z, to 1-800-465-8770. Text R-A-N-T-Z to 1-800-465-8770, and I'll go ahead and send you a link to this story. You can listen to the audio. You can get a better sense of what this project actually looks like, and I would appreciate it if you would share it on your Twitter feed, Facebook, LinkedIn. Send it everywhere so that we can get some eyeballs on this, because obviously this show is not heard live in Oregon unless someone's on a podcast or listening on the stream. They don't get this show. I'm willing to bet you know some folks in Oregon, whether it's in Portland or Salem, whether it's Eastern Oregon or Western Oregon, you know some people out there. So let's get the story in front of them so they don't get shocked or surprised when this plan, if it gets approved by Kate Brown, the governor there, is implemented. Text RANTZ to 1-800-465-8770. Immigration is one of the topics we'll be talking about at the Freedom Series. Make sure you're purchasing your tickets today. KTTH.com. It's the Jason Rant Show.